Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 12th. Miss DA is all over it now.
Over a head cold or something. Maybe I'll talk for both of us. How's that?
Yeah, that'll work. And probably you'll hear rounds of applause out there too. The more you talk, the less I talk. Yes. Let's see if we can find a quote here to get things jump started. Well, that's just a little too heavy for us. Simple one. This comes from Tristan Bernard. Men are always sincere. They change sincerities. That's all. I'm sure that folks have talked to you about the Dylan Roof and some of the shootings and our executions, I guess, is probably a more accurate phrase throughout the country that has been going on the last year and a half or so. Do you guys talk about that kind of stuff in the office, in the meetings, in the hallways? The what ifs, or if it came here, or what if?
Well, I think, in our situation, we have such a heavy caseload ourselves that perhaps we focus more, on our county. But we do sometimes discuss when you see how other communities are dealing, that is specifically how jury verdicts reflect other communities. And then also, obviously, changes in the law that we see. Sometimes other states are sort of taking a proactive attitude towards, changes in the type of crime they're seeing. And so, we look at it from the point of view, what would our courts do with that? And so we look at it in that sense.
Is California a good state in that regard to practice law in?
It's so cyclical. It's something that I've seen. One of the issues that I think must be understood is that we might have laws on the books, but then not only do our local courts interpret those laws, but then if you go to trial and there's a verdict, then the Court of Appeals evaluates that, and then the Supreme Court. And every step of the way, you have layers of people who at different points, were appointed by different, perhaps different governors. And so there's this whole things can change, from day to day. And it's sometimes very difficult because you'll take a position, you'll believe that's correct under the law. And then as it goes through the various courts, it can be overruled. And then, the outcome of cases are significantly impacted by something you didn't see coming.
What about juries? Do you see that as a variable in the equation also?
Absolutely. And again, that's kind of an interesting issue because that varies throughout the state of California, just like it varies, nationwide. And so it really is something you have to be aware of because it's a community standard.
So when you have a change of venue, do you look for specific communities that have similar or those that might be more prone for a proper outcome from the district attorney's office?
The change of venue is just appointed by the where you go is appointed by the state.
No politics. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor May.
Supervisor.
Supervisor of the Criminal Courts.
Office.
How's that? District Attorney. Where'd Supervisor come from?
You got a head cold.
No, thank you very much.
I'll give you that one.
Okay. I know we're on one topic. Okay, I'll just make a quick little note here. Before the break, we talked a little bit about change of venue.
Right.
Do all counties in California have change of venue requests and opportunities?
Yeah, so it's an interesting process. It's one of the reasons why historically most DA's offices try not to discuss cases other than we're really confined according to the ethics rules, what we can discuss, sort of, you know, someone's been charged, their date of birth, or I mean how old they are, where they're from, that sort of thing. But we're not really supposed to be out in front of the factual presentation because it can tamper with potential jurors' mindset.
Can you do that with other DAs? Can you get on the horn and say, hey, I've got this goofy situation here. Here's the details.
Yeah.
Have you run into something similar to that? Where were the pitfalls? How can we avoid not getting a proper resolution?
So I could. Generally, most of us have some experience with that. So, you know, you're familiar with it. The real issue that we see is when the media runs with the story. And for example, when I first started here, young woman was murdered, and back then we had daily newspapers, and we also had three local TV stations, and it was literally front and center almost every day. Every week there was another report, so that by the time we were going to try it, we were able to try it here, the jury hung, and so then we were faced with a change of venue. And that process was sort of interesting. The defense brought the first time around, the defense attorneys actually brought a change of venue, and that's something a judge rules on. So they bring in experts who say, we've made this many phone calls to this many potential jurors, here were their responses to these questions.
So it's just doing a canvassing survey,
exactly, seeing how many people have pretty much already made up their minds. And then the court initially said no, but then because of the retrial, we did end up going. And the way that process works is the state, I think it's the Judicial Commission, but I'm not sure, gives you options. And we were presented with three counties where we could go. I remember Alameda County and Contra Costa, and I can't tell you the third. It might have been Solano. My focus was how difficult would it be for us to get our witnesses to that location, because you're tasked with that. When you have a change of venue, you basically have to put the entire trial on at another, you know, location.
It's a roadshow.
Yes. So Contra Costa was where I came from, so the defense attorneys were somewhat reluctant to see us going there because I think they felt like I'd sort of have the home ground or something.
Home field advantage?
I don't know. Yeah. Unfortunately, the judge who took our phone call was someone who was like, hey, Maggie. And I was like, oh, no. You know. But
thanks,
so
Bob.
We ended up going to Alameda County. And it's interesting because the DA's office, you know, we call them, we ask them. They provided me with office space. My investigator had space. And then obviously the courts have to be able at that point in time to accept that another courtroom's going to be used, not handling their cases. We brought in a visiting judge. We had a visiting court reporter. And we had to then get all the witnesses there and put the case on to a juror selected from the Alameda County population.
When that happens, we've heard in the past additional expense. Now, sometimes it's said as extraordinary expense. Sometimes it's just seen as additional expense. That comes from the transportation component of it, or
yes,
the staff, when you're there, you've got room and board and all these other,
right.
And what is, when you look at the budget also, in addition to access, what cost factors do you put into that equation?
You're right. It was really, I think, probably the housing for myself, the investigator, that was the biggest expense, because we had to live there for almost 4 months. But because the cost, luckily we ended up in Alameda County. So for the witnesses who were coming from other areas, it was easy to fly them into Oakland. Obviously you can't fly from here to Oakland, but we didn't have that many witnesses that the investigators couldn't handle the transportation just by vehicle. So that worked out okay. And then obviously there's a certain number of experts from Department of Justice, law enforcement, who can just drive on their own, and that was taken care of. So the burden, I think, as far as finances, really was the hit to not just my housing and my transportation, but then also the defense attorneys, because they were appointed counsel. So our county was paying their salaries and their housing as well.
You didn't stay with your folks?
No, my dad had already left the area by then. So yeah,
is that something that's it's if somebody has friends or neighbors and they're not the witnesses,
right?
Because I know they're supposed to be kind of incommunicado, but for staff and stuff, is that something that's encouraged or discouraged, or is it just okay, if you want to, great. If you don't, that's okay too.
Right. No, absolutely. I think if I still had our family home there, I would have just done that. Because that would have been, I mean, that's ideally what you want. You want to be able to go home at night, you know, have a kitchen, sit down, work on your case.
Relax a little bit, unwind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would have been nice. But no, unfortunately, that wasn't an option, and neither for the DA investigator. So we were in an apartment, two separate apartments. Yeah. Don't know why I had to say that.
Yeah, but you know, you pounced right on that one. Must have gone to mass this week, huh?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Thank you.
Yeah, got it right this time. I get a thank you. All right. Talk shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Maggie, the concept of change of venue, now, I suppose that's pretty well baked in the system.
Yes.
Jury selection.
Yes.
While part of the system is becoming more and more problematic as you've allowed over the past couple of years. So when you have a change of venue, I would think it's even tougher to get jurors from that county, not because it's from Humboldt, but because it's a serious, you don't move a DUI. You move a murder. You move the heavy duty stuff. How does that change the jury selection process?
It's interesting. It really didn't. And I think because for me, what jury selection is about is making sure you have individuals who can fairly evaluate the evidence. And so for people who are going to understand not just their role and the significance of their role, I think they already appreciate a murder anywhere is a murder. And I was actually really impressed. It's Alameda County, sort of similarly to Humboldt. Has a really large...
Except they got a baseball team and a football team and a basketball team.
That's true. Other than that. But they have such a wide area, land area. So we had jurors who were driving over an hour each day. And when we questioned them, you know, sort of like we do with our jurors, you know, is this something you can do? They said, oh, yeah, I do that for my job every day. So this is okay. In fact, this is better because you're asking me to get here a little later than I have to get to work. And the commute time is less, you know. So I was just so impressed by people's willingness to serve. It was a very long trial. The one area, frankly, that for us I really worked hard to sort of address was I wanted them to understand how the area looked, where it took place. And so what we did was we got a pilot to film a significant portion of the county to sort of show where the crime took place, and then obviously we brought in maps because that was part of something of understanding the crime. So that part was a little bit different, but otherwise, in all senses, it was, you know, the reality was that it was exactly just as if we presented the case here in Humboldt County. People were willing to serve, they were concerned, and they were very diligent.
Humboldt County has also hosted change of venue
yes.
trials. How does that play out when you're playing host rather than visitor?
Right. You know, as the DAs, you try to accommodate, just as I imagine either the public defender's office or perhaps private defense attorneys try to accommodate that visiting defense attorney. We try to accommodate the visiting prosecutor. We make sure that they feel comfortable and understand our staff, who to go to if you need assistance, you know, with getting motions written and presented to the court, those sorts of things, as well as providing their investigator space and assistance. So anything you can do to accommodate them, you know, we're sort of all this, we're in this together, and you try to help each other.
Anybody play like tourist host or anything like that?
Or
is it kind of so focused that it's...
Yes, exactly.
We'll get you to the hotel yeah. and tell you where a couple food
right.
joints are.
And we're happy to help if they ask for suggestions on, you know, can you make recommendations for long-term housing or, you know, something like that. So we try to, you know, because you don't necessarily want to stay in a hotel. You maybe want to get a furnished apartment, something with a kitchen.
Is there that?
I believe there are. There are
product,
also,
I guess, or
yes.
service available?
Yes. And then now, you know, more and more we have sort of the rental homes that are furnished and provide
okay.
a furnished kitchen.
So there are some options
yes,
that
yes.
you can put somebody in for a
yes.
short period. Does that change the dynamics in your office, having a different player or players?
Yes. And, you know, it's funny. You appreciate when I was in Alameda County, what was funny was we were actually out on the island, the Alameda, in that court. And the DA's office there only had two attorneys assigned to it. And one of them was charging a murder case that had occurred on the island, and he spent a lot of time talking to me about the different allegations and whether or not he should charge it this way or that way, and I realized that I was quickly becoming a resource for them because they were kind of, you know, a smaller version of the main office, and they needed assistance as well. So it sort of goes both ways, and that's, you know, I think that's something that we all appreciate being able to do, having, you know, other prosecutors with experience who you can use as a resource.
How long is there a formula, I guess, or a template that a change of venue case has to fit before it will be permitted to move?
So it's the judge in the county where it occurred who's making that determination. And as I say, it's a motion brought by the defense. It's then litigated. Because in general, you know, you'd rather try your case at home. I can imagine that perhaps there are some situations where the DA's office would concede if it's that obvious. But I know we've had them over the years in a number of high-profile homicide cases. We've always litigated it. And frequently, it's interesting, the change of venue process, because when the defense expert comes in and testifies, and I didn't realize this till I was going through it, the formula is, let's say you make 100 calls and only 50 say, I heard about that case. Then they only ask the next series of questions to those 50. Well, that means there were 50 who said, I didn't hear about the case. And that's what I present to the judge. I'm saying, well, let's look at their numbers, because in essence, they're saying there are half the population that they, you know, questioned could serve as jurors.
See what we got. Also see what we are
exactly.
missing.
Yeah. yeah.
If it's a high-profile individual with a mundane routine, something that would not normally ever qualify, can the recognition or the awareness or the knowledge of an individual be the thing that triggers a change of venue?
I imagine that could occur. I have never seen that occur. You know, even in our small community, there are still jurors who either haven't heard of the person or would frankly say, what little I know about them, I'm only, you know, it would not impact my decision.
And we'll see how that plays out, too.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, during the process, either a change of venue or when you have a case, there's certainly a lot of colds and flu that are going around, and I can personally attest, feeling a little dull-witted. When you bring experts in, does something like that or some kind of a personal situation that may have arisen recently that they're dealing with, do those impact your choice of whether or not to use that individual or another individual as your expert?
So in general, we don't choose the expert, on our side anyway. In other words, if evidence is sent to the lab, our local lab, they do a certain amount of work and then it goes to one of the other state labs for additional work. We don't know who at those state labs is going to get it. And then that is our expert. You know, they prepare a report. We say, oh, okay, this is evidence.
Then
we're bringing that person. We frequently have issues, though, where jurors are told, we apologize. We thought we'd have a witness for you this morning. We don't. They will be here tomorrow. We've had it happen related to illness. We've had it related to flights. I had one time a case.
Oh, just missing a flight?
They were
or
on the
running,
flight,
somebody
but the
running.
Flight didn't get here, and they got rerouted.
What a surprise, really.
And then we had to send the jury home, actually, for a couple days because they couldn't get back based on their schedule for another couple days. We had issues this week related to road closures. So it's always a problem. You know, I mean, that's one of the sort of issues we have to deal with as being sort of a remote community.
So will you try to then vamp and bring somebody else in earlier who's here and get
sometimes,
them through the process? Or is there a sequential progression that you like?
Sometimes in the interest of time, you're prepared to reorganize your case. But frequently, sometimes that's the piece that then allows you to put on the next couple of witnesses. And so you really have to just go dark until you can get that piece of evidence on.
It's got to be frustrating for the system, but kind of refreshing for the staff. Now you got a day or two where you can get ahead on something else?
It can go both ways. Generally, we kind of like to have the case proceed orderly and timely, and I can understand the frustration for jurors. So our best way to present the case is to do it, you know, succinctly, orderly, efficiently.
Probably the sign of an experienced adjudicator, then, is somebody who doesn't let it ruffle their feathers.
Right. Right.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the seasoned traveler who doesn't unload on the ticket person because the airplane isn't there.
Exactly.
What are they going to do? Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Whoever you are.
Yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.